Shalom Aleichem. Mishnah Yomi today is in Mishnah 14 in the first chapter of Eduyot. Kli Cheres, an earthenware utensil. Matzil al hakol. It can protect everything inside of it from becoming ritually impure. And according to the Torah, this is when it's tzmid petil, when it's actually sealed shut. Kedivri Beit Hillel. According to Beit Hillel, it protects everything. Beit Shammai Omrim. But they disagree. They say, Eino matzil. Ele ala ochlin, it only protects food, vala mashkin, and drinks, vala kli cheres, and other earthenware utensils that are inside of it, which would exclude metal utensils, glass utensils, and the like. Those would be considered impure, according to Beit Shammai, even though the rest of the things inside are pure. Amru lehem Beit Hillel, mipnei ma, why did you do this? Amru lehen Beit Shammai mipnei shehutame al gov am haaretz. He says, because it could be that the earthenware utensil, the big one, the outer one, that you say is protecting everything, it could be an am haaretz has used it, touched it, and now it is rabbinically impure and doesn't block all impurity. Ein kli tame chotzetz, because a utensil that itself is impure cannot block impurity from spreading to what's inside of it. Amar lehem Beit Hillel. Now Beit Hillel points out the contradiction. Haloti hartem, don't you say that it's pure? Ochlin mashkin shebetochu, the food and liquids that are inside of it. You're going to tell me that a metal cup inside this big sealed jug is impure, but the food and drink inside of this same jug is pure? Amar lehem Beit Shammai, they respond, kashi tarnu ochlin mashkin shebetochu, when we said the food and drink are pure, le'atzmo. We said for the Am haaretz. The Am haaretz is not so well educated. He doesn't know all of the laws in detail. So frequently he gets himself into rabbinically tameh situations. And therefore our sages assume that on a rabbinical level, he is considered impure. Of course, we mentioned that during the holidays, when everyone comes to Yerushalayim, everyone makes a special effort to get educated, review the laws, go to the mikveh. So we assume in Yerushalayim during Yom Tov, everyone is pure. But in general, an Am haaretz who's not careful, not well educated, we consider him rabbinically impure. So his kli was rabbinically impure, and the food and drink inside as well is rabbinically impure. So the Am haaretz can use it, but his neighbor, who's a chaver in yeshiva and is very scrupulous about purity, may not. But if you say the kli, a metal or glass kli inside the big earthenware jug, is still pure, tiharta lecha ulo. Then both the Am haaretz and his neighbor, the chaver, the well-educated and scrupulous individual, they will both use it assuming it's tahor. So it's better that we say it's tameh, and guess what? If it's metal or glass or the like, they can take it to the mikveh and fix that situation, so then both the Am haaretz and the chaver next door can use it. Chazru Beit Hillel l'horo k'divrei Beit Shammai. So Beit Hillel reversed himself to again rule like Beit Shammai's logic. And the Rambam and the Meiri comment that this is also sort of a tikkun olam, because this takana allows us to be careful enough with kelim that both the chaver, the one who's scrupulous, and the Am haaretz, who's not as well educated, can borrow from one another, and neither of them are going to get in trouble with the rules of impurity. Being able to have your neighbors have a good working relationship and borrow things, that's also a form of tikkun olam, at least in my opinion. Let's go on to chapter 2. This chapter starts off with Rabbi Chanina Segon HaKohanim. Rabbi Chanina worked in the base of Mikdash. He was the deputy and administrator in charge of the Kohanim, the priests serving the temple. He'id, he testified in the yeshiva about what they did, arba dvarim, four special things. Mehem shel Kohanim, in all the days of the Kohanim in the temple, lo nimne'u, they didn't refrain, milisrof, from burning at the basar shenitma bevladatuma, sacrificial meats that touched a second degree source of impurity, so now those meats are third degree impurity, ima basar shenitma bevavatuma, along with other sacrificial meats that had contacted a first level tuma and avatuma, and now they are a sheni, a second level. So they combined third level and second level meat. Afal pi, even though, shemosifin tuma al tumato, that it adds more impurity to the third degree meat. Since it was going to be burned up anyway, because it can no longer be used, even if it's a shlishi, they weren't concerned about adding tuma. Hosif Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva added to his testimony, mimeim shel Kohanim, in all the days of the Kohanim, lo nimna'u, they did not refrain, milhodlik et hashemen shenifsal tivliyom, from burning truma oil that had contact with a tevul yom. A tevul yom is someone who was tamei, but he went to the mikveh that day, and now he's waiting for sunset in order to eat his truma again if he's a kohen. This is actually a subject of the very first Mishnah in Shas, the first Mishnah of Brachos, when the kohanim can eat their dinner, their truma dinner, if they were a tevul yom earlier that day and went to the mikveh. So they would still use this truma oil, which has become pasul. It can't be eaten, but it can still be burned in a lamp. Benair in a lamp, shenitma b'tame met, a lamp that had contact with somebody who was tame met, was defiled from touching a dead corpse, which is the highest level of tuma. Afal pisha masifin lo al tumato. Even though the oil becomes more impure as it's being burned in this lamp, we were not concerned because, again, it was being destroyed. Yashar kochachem, zay gezunt.